Good Friday afternoon, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. It's June 26, 2020. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sabadita Sun. Bill and his lovely wife, Ann, have taken some time off this week to explore the great Northwest Coast. I hope you've been following him on his Facebook page. You do not want to miss that remarkable photo of a starfish out of Oregon. It's really something else. That and lots of other photos there. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m., or you can catch the live stream or access all of the archives at buckmastershow.com. I spend a lot of time combing through those archives, especially at election time, because Bill gets some terrific interviews and breaks a lot of news. So worthwhile going through those. On Fridays, Bill gives a round of applause to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sabadita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website, buckmastershow.com. We start off the show with our Friday Focus interview. Today we are talking to Don Weaver. He is heavily involved in Green Valley down near where I live, and we're going to be asking the question, which way now as Green Valley contemplates its future? You can join us if you have a question or comment. Reach us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Welcome, Don Weaver.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Has it been a crazy year or what?
It's been unbelievable.
I'm waiting for the locust to appear.
Yeah. So, no, it's been very challenging.
It's been something else, and it just seems like every time we wake up, there's a new hell awaiting us. So we're looking forward to a safe summer, but Green Valley is pretty much hunkered down because we are a vulnerable population.
Oh, yeah, and it's getting worse. That's what worries me.
Right, and so people are very attentive to that. We get lots of calls with the paper and people looking for information. Best thing, be safe if you're going to head outside, but don't head outside.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Nope.
So, well, we're going to start out with you, and then we're going to get into that real heavy-duty question about Green Valley, which is an unincorporated community in Pima County. But first, tell us about you. How long have you been there, and what has your involvement been?
I came to Green Valley about 20 years ago, and since I'd have a master's in political science and was in city government for 16 years, I got very interested in the politics and how things go on in Green Valley. So I got involved with Green Valley Council and served as president for 4 years and been on their board for almost 18. And now I'm president of Green Valley Rec, which is another fairly significant organization in Green Valley. I'm on the Community Water Board, on the Pima County Transportation Advisor Committee, and involved in a lot of committees with the chamber. So I've been in a lot of activities, and I love Green Valley, and it's a great place to live.
And this is why we had you on the show. You have a vast background involved in several different organizations that are key to the future of that community. But I guess before you figure out the future, we really need to know the past. So give us just a brief history of Green Valley, Arizona.
Well, you know, Green Valley, Arizona, many years ago, probably 20 or more, we're controlled by Pima County. We're not an incorporated city. And so a lot of our HOAs were trying to get the county to do things for them. And it was decided that to do it, we need to join together. One voice is not as good as a group of voices. So Green Valley Council was formed many years ago, and today we have 72 HOAs, and we represent about 85% of Green Valley. And we have committee structures that work very closely with the county. I personally think we're very lucky to have a great supervisor who listened to us. We visit with the county department heads every year to have personal contact. And Chuck Huckleberry and all of his staff know us, and they depend on us to give the voice for them. We provide service requests on everything in Green Valley to Pima County. And on a monthly basis, we go over those to make sure those service requests, such as potholes and roads and whatever, are done. So the council is a very active organization, and we work very closely with Pima County. And I think if we didn't have the council, it would be a big void.
And Green Valley started in the mid-1960s, and excuse the term, but it was kind of a sleepy little place for people to go and retire and square dance and volunteer and make things and golf and just enjoy themselves. But it really has morphed into a political power of sorts. I mean, you mentioned that you guys can pretty much get anybody in the county on the phone if you need to, even though the Green Valley Council technically has no authority, but you have lots of influence, and Green Valley votes in very high numbers.
And you know what? We were successful 5 years ago when I was president. We needed money to operate Green Valley Council. So we proved to the county that we were really a valuable asset. So they gave us $75,000, and in the budget this year, we hopefully will be getting $85,000. And so that shows that they depend on us. And just like the roads, we have a road prioritization committee. It rides every road in Green Valley every year. We come together with a list, and all but 1 year, the county has really looked at these roads that we've recommended and come up with the right ones. And 2 years ago, we were only going to get like $50,000 in road repair. I went to Steve Christie, and he pulled all of his people together in his district. We in Green Valley ended up with $650,000 worth of roads. So I give Steve credit a lot for recognizing our needs down here.
Yep, Supervisor Christie, and then before him, Ray Carroll was in office for years representing that area. And I do believe that it is of a very sweeping District 4, which goes from Green Valley all the way to Mount Lemmon. The Green Valley is the most populated area of that district. And so it gets a lot of attention. But things are changing in Green Valley as we see a different generation of retirees come in. And there have been some concerns raised about the future and whether Green Valley can continue to sustain itself with the volunteer level it has in the past and involvement of people. Because that's really what's been the key, is that people get involved.
That's a big concern of mine, Dan. I know in these organizations like GVC, Green Valley Rec, the Chamber, we put a lot of volunteer hours in. And the future generation, I'm not knocking them, they don't tend to want to put as many hours in. They want short duration of activities. So my concern is, how are these organizations in the future going to be able to cope when they can't get volunteers? And will that mean the demise of them? That's a big concern I have.
Well, what are some of the other influential groups in town? You mentioned Green Valley Council, Green Valley Rec, which is 13 rec centers, and a house a homeowner can buy into Green Valley Rec, and then that home is in there in perpetuity. They can never get out of it. So if you get in, you better want to be sure that you do. Once you're in, though, I'll tell you this, it's an incredible deal. You buy in for roughly $2,500, and then you have you're paying around $500 a year for access to hundreds of clubs and lots of activities. It's really worth it. Is that something that can be sustained?
I think so. I'm not as worried about GVR as I am GVC, the Chamber, and some of the organizations. You know what happens with GVR? We've got two groups, and they're always trying to compete with each other. And with that competing, it makes more people want to be on our committees. We have a very good committee structure. And it can get a little contentious at times, but people in GVR are attuned to what's going on, and they have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, I haven't covered many of those meetings. I can validate that. There is something out there called the Green Valley Futures Committee, correct? And what are they doing?
All right, Dick Roberts with GVC is chairing a Futures Committee, and they're looking at the things we just talked about. What do we do if we don't have Green Valley Council? Do we look at incorporating? Do we look at combining with Sarita? I mean, these are the things that we're going to need to look at in the future. Green Valley is going to be maxed out with properties in the near future. We only got several thousand lots that are available to be developed. We cannot go to the east because of the parks and government land. We can't go to the north with Sarita. We can't go to the west because of the mine. So the only area we could expand would be go south towards Amana. And that has been suggested by some people that we could expand our footprint that way. But the problem is, Sarita was very smart years ago when they incorporated. They took pretty much all the commercial property for Green Valley. And in order to incorporate, Green Valley would have to have enough commercial property to pay it with sales tax. And Arizona cities don't usually use property tax, they use sales tax. So I think the likelihood of Green Valley to incorporate by itself is very little.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about incorporation because there have been attempts in the past, and the last one happened before I got here, and here it was pretty rough. So I'm not sorry I missed it, but we'll talk about whether that could happen again in the future. We are talking with Don Weaver on our Friday Focus interview, talking about all things Green Valley. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village studio. We'll be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm sitting in for Bill. You've joined us in the middle of the Friday Focus interview. We are with Don Weaver, and we're talking about Green Valley. Don, we had talked a little bit about incorporation efforts, and I believe there have been four of them.
That's correct.
In Green Valley in years past, and these were always really difficult affairs, to put it politely.
Yes.
People have very strong opinions about this. Vail looked at it a few years ago. Sahuarita did it back in 1994. They incorporated, knowing full well that Rancho Sarita was going to come in and bring with it some business. What do you think about another one?
Well, the problem with Green Valley trying to incorporate on its own, we don't have the commercial base for sales tax. And if you don't have that, it would be very difficult to put in all the infrastructure of a town or city. You would probably have to go to a property tax base. And I can tell you, Green Valley is very conservative, and I don't think that would ever happen if we had to go to a property tax base.
What was interesting a couple of years ago is that Green Valley lost a gem in La Posada, which allowed itself to be annexed by the town of Sahuarita. And it's that was quite a loss. And my sense was that La Posada did not want to have Pima County as its first layer of government. And I wonder if Sahuarita plans, they tried to annex more and it didn't work, but yeah. I wonder if they are planning to kind of gobble up some more.
You know, about a year ago, I heard they were looking at some more of those businesses around La Posada. Also, some business over near Jim Click. But I haven't heard anything recently. So, and I don't think they would go after our businesses down near the hospital or the Continental Mall area. So I haven't heard a lot lately.
Well, to incorporate, really, again, then you would have a town council and a mayor, assuming, and you have more of an opportunity to kind of decide what your future is. And is that attractive to people in Green Valley, or do a lot of them just come there and say, you know what, I really don't want to worry about all of this right now?
I think the main thing in Green Valley is, what's it going to cost me?
Yeah.
And the thing about trying to do our own incorporation, you'd have to really put together a lot of infrastructure. And that's why I talked to Mayor Murphy, several of the council members years ago, about possibility of the two, Sarita and Green Valley, going together. And the reason they didn't like it back then was the roads. Well, right now, the county is on a five-year plan to get our roads repaired, and they're doing a good job. So it might be more attractive in the future, but I personally, and I know a lot of people might not like this, but being an old city government person and used to be assistant city manager in Greensboro, I do not think we could incorporate by ourselves. I think we'd have to do something like with Sarita. But at the present time, to be honest with you, with the Pima County being as attentive as they are for Green Valley, I don't really see the need right now. And we're very fortunate they're paying attention to us. As long as we have a good supervisor like Steve Christie who stands up for us, I think we're okay like what we are right now.
So annexation and incorporation might at this point be trying to solve a problem that maybe doesn't exist, or at least doesn't exist at the moment.
I don't think it exists in the moment, but again, I hope this Futures Committee will look at what's going to happen 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road. Once we lose these volunteers and people who are putting the time in like we are in Green Valley today, it won't work. And so we may need another form of government.
Are there any surveys being done out there in Green Valley that tell us what the residents want?
The only survey that has been done in the last few years was the one GVR did with their members, and it did cover a lot of areas of Green Valley in general. We, the Green Valley Council, did a very comprehensive study maybe 5 years ago, and Susan Anderson and her committee came up with a great plan, but it needs to be updated today. So, no, we really need to get the feel for what the people want and what are we going to need for the future, because people retiring in the future are not going to want the same thing we wanted.
And that's a really great question. What does the retirement community of the future look like? And everybody tends to look to Florida at something called the Villages, which I think is like the Disneyland of you know, kind of like not quite real. But it sure has, it's its own city, basically. And it's incredible, and people look at that. But, you know, we look a lot of times at, you know, what is that next big thing? And interestingly enough, one of the next big things was pickleball, of all things. It draws people, and it is not a fad. It is, it's very big, and Green Valley Rec just opened up a complex.
And you know what? We're very fortunate. During this virus, we've only opened up the new complex for pickleball players. It has been jammed, and people really are enjoying it. So the naysayers of pickleball are wrong, in my opinion. I think that's something that will help us attract people in the future. But what are the activities that are out there in the future that's going to be the pickleball? We've got to be aware of it and be ready to implement it in Green Valley. And, you know, people, some people are afraid that we're going to come this premier community like the one you just mentioned in Florida.
Yes, Villages.
I don't think we're going to be that way. I think we're very fortunate that we'll be right where we should be.
Well, how are you trying to figure out what future retirees want? Who is out there with their finger on the pulse, or at least says they are? And I know everyone defers to Where to Retire magazine, which is a big one, and you get a mention in there, and it's a big deal. It gets a lot of attention for you. But I really have to ask the question, what do we want to be rather than what do other people want us to be who aren't even here yet? Because I think one of the beauties of Green Valley is that, let's take housing, for example. You know, you can buy a place for $60,000, you can buy a place for $1.2 million. There is, anybody almost can afford to live there. It is not an exclusive community.
Well, the good news, too, is we have a very small population that is not economically in good shape. And we do have programs in Green Valley to help those people. And so that makes it a lot better. But I think both GVR, GVC, and the Chamber really need to get together and look at what is going to be the needs of the future for this area, what do the retirement people want, and start planning for it.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to look very different than it does today. And I'm, you know, 10 years away from retirement, well, after the stock market from this year, I'm probably 20 years away. But, you know, we're looking, okay, what is it that we want in a community? And do I want to be in an age-restricted community? And if so, which one and where and everything? I will tell you, Green Valley fills the bill for a lot of people. It's, the state is still affordable. The community most certainly is. The retirees are great, but I would sure hate for certain things to go away.
Well, you know what concerns me? We've had one golf course close in the last 2 years. Fortunately, Pima County picked it up and it's a park. I predict that in the next 5 years to 6 years, we'll probably have at least one or two more golf courses fail. And golf is not the premier what it was many years ago. So what are we going to do with these properties when they do fail? That's going to be important. And the county can't keep coming in and putting in parks.
Right.
So that's going to be a big challenge for Green Valley, I think.
What is one thing that would be relatively easy to draw that we don't have right now that you would like to see?
One thing that would be easy to draw.
We don't have right now. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Okay. We had a bowling alley closed down a few years ago, and that was in the town of Sahuarita, but people miss that. They really miss having the bowling alley. And it's interesting because a bowling alley is not just for bowling. It's just a place for people to meet.
Social.
Exactly. And coffee shops are that.
Yeah.
You know, and so GVR has a lot of those social opportunities already, but it's one thing where, yeah, you know what? To have that back might be a draw for some people.
Well, one thing GVR was looking at and we put on the back burner was having an area where there could be like a coffee, like a La Posada, Java, and have people to be able to congregate. Well, unfortunately, in today's world, that's not going to be anything in the near future.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, how far out will we ever come back to a situation where we can do some of the things we did in the past? And so I think that's going to be a big adjustment, not only for Green Valley, all retirement communities.
One more interesting thing about Green Valley is that roughly a third of the residents leave, mostly in the summer. And it is, some of them leave for a few weeks, some of them leave for 6 months. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? And have you seen a shift one direction or the other with people leaving?
This year, I have seen a lot of people delay leaving and some not even leaving because of the virus. It's a good thing as far as the people, but what hurts Green Valley business is when all these people leave, what we call the snowbirds, our business are hurting. And it's very tough to run a restaurant or a business in the Green Valley Sarita when all these people leave.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, it's coming up on 12:30 here. That's going to wrap it up for this Friday Focus interview. Thank you so much, Don Weaver. I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, thank you, Dan, and stay safe.
Oh, thank you. When we return to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio, we're going to be joined by Jim Ninsel. He's the editor of Tucson Weekly to talk about elections and wildfires. We'll be right back.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, who enjoyed a wonderful vacation this week in a lot cooler place than here. It's time for our Friday roundtable where we discuss the week's issues and big stories. On the line with us is Jim Ninsel, editor of Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, hey, from the standpoint of a parent with young children, how are you and your wife managing the coronavirus around your place?
So we had them home when the schools closed down and our daycare. I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And then in June this month, 3 weeks ago, we're finishing our third or fourth week, we sent them over to camp at the JCC.
Okay.
And that has worked out really well. There was two incidents where we had some close calls with the JCC, and they had to close down the ECE for a day to do a deep clean. But fortunately, nothing's touched down on us yet.
Oh, that's good to hear, and
yeah.
It is.
The kids are so happy to be someplace at their parents' house. You know.
And in 10 years, when they're 13 and 16, they're going to feel the same way, Jim. I just want you
yeah.
to know that.
Oh, I know. I'm not really unhappy having them out of the house. But our babysitter, who we've been having come to the house during the downtime when we didn't have an option,
right,
actually tested positive a couple of weeks after she wrapped up with us.
Wow.
So, you know, if we'd continued going that route, we could have had the virus inside our own house. So,
oh, boy.
You just never know. I mean, it's certainly a risk and a roll of the dice and everything else. But
you know, and everyone's just going through that. And, you know, down in Sahuarita, we've been debating the whole mask thing with the county saying, yes, it's mandated, the state saying no, and Sahuarita saying, we're going to go with the state.
Oh,
and absolutely getting pounded by every human being who lives in nearby Green Valley, and most of them are vulnerable. So,
right.
Yeah.
And aren't they required to do it since the county did it, or are they saying they're not?
They're saying they're not, and everybody is claiming to have state statute behind them, and they are... Sahuarita has said, you know what, we're just going to go with the state, which means masks are a recommendation but not a requirement. Now, I will say that after the governor's press conference yesterday where he presented some startling statistics and himself appeared definitely unnerved, Sahuarita might be changing their mind on things. The phone was ringing as we went on the air today with the mayor calling one of our reporters, and we'll see if they're gonna change gears here. We just don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the Bighorn Fire is now nearly 90,000 acres. 1,200 people are fighting it as of this morning. And Tucson Weekly, however, is already looking ahead at recovery.
Obviously the fire is still blazing through the Catalinas, and it's just been devastating. However, that said, we thought it was worthwhile just taking a look at what might happen after the smoke clears. And Jeff Gardner, our associate editor, talked with a forest expert over at the U of A who said, you know, the lower levels with the grasslands will recover relatively quickly, but it's those forests on the top of the mountain that take a long time to make a comeback. And there's some chance, you know, they may be supplanted by an entirely different ecosystem. So some major changes potentially ahead at the on Mount Lemmon in the wake of this blaze.
And sometimes fire can be good.
It can. I mean, there's probably not nearly enough time to go into the weeds, so
yeah,
to speak, on this one, but there's certainly been a lot of talk about the fire suppression efforts that have been made over the decades and how that built up too much fuel in the area, and it definitely resulted in much hotter burning fires and some criticism of how things have been done in the past, and that fire can sometimes clear out areas and lead to smaller fires in the future. But, you know, this one, holy cow, 80,000.
Yep.
It's dreadful. You watch it here from the valley and see those fires burning, and you get scared.
Yeah, I was up in Oro Valley the other day and saw some of the efforts going on there to deal with this, and it was quite something. So, Jim, I have met Jonathan Mosher and Laura Conover, both Democratic candidates for Pima County Attorney, but my first introduction to the third candidate came through an odd story I read in Tucson Weekly. Tell us about Mark Diebold.
Yeah, our reporter, Austin Counts, requested personnel records for the candidates who are seeking this county attorney office, which is going to be a big change. You know, Barbara LaWall has been there since 1996. This is our top prosecutor in the county, of course, and also handles a lot of civil legal work for the county departments. And Mark Diebold has some colorful moments in his personnel file. Some of them concern a case and his failure to respond to some legal motions in a case, and that was something that he was disciplined for relatively recently. There's a few other incidents, including some emails that he received that had pornographic content from apparently some acquaintances of his. It sounds like it was kind of a bro-style, jokey sort of emails, and not, you know, tuning into Pornhub or something like that.
Sure.
But he was disciplined for a number of these emails that he opened, and the discipline file notes that there were a number of work-related emails he did not open during the same time he was checking out these emails. His email was monitored for a year later. The incident stopped, and this was back in 2009. But you know, that race is really going to be a big changing point for the city of Tucson, and of course, it's coming for the entire county, and it's coming at a time when criminal justice reform is right there on the front burner.
Absolutely, and Mosher and Conover have really been pushing that, and some prison reform and dealing with people who have drug issues, mental health issues, and some real thoughtful ways of approaching this, even though both of them, I think, come at it from very different angles. They still want the same thing, which is, let's not waste money and let's help build lives back up rather than tear them down. Very interesting.
I think at any other time, a candidate like Laura Conover would have a much harder time, mm-hmm. Given that she does not have that prosecutorial experience, and a lot of people will always, when they're running for county attorney or attorney general, talk about how tough they're going to be on crime. But these days, it seems as though, at least among Democrats, looking at being a little softer on crime seems to be something that's appealing to voters. So we'll see how that one goes, but early voting starts next week. So really coming up fast, because we have a much earlier primary than we had previously in Arizona. It's at the beginning of August instead of the end of August.
Actually, yes, and we were talking about that at the on a call involving several states yesterday with our news organization, and a lot of them, of course, have already had their primaries. So we're early, but we're still really late.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us, 'tis the season, as we say. Who else have you been talking to from an election standpoint, and what are some of your impressions?
Well, we've been so busy with the COVID stuff and the fire stuff, and this week the chief of police stuff,
mm-hmm.
that we haven't, and then the challenge of actually meeting with candidates. It has to be done largely through Zoom or phone calls. That I am just getting rolling on our election coverage, which is a little delayed, but that earlier primary is, I think, going to catch a lot of folks off guard. But we'll have a lot of stuff on the county races in next week's paper. We got a much longer piece on the county attorney's race coming out next week, and then kind of a roundup of some of the other races, and we'll be doing a lot more as the season wears on.
Yeah, so folks, don't vote yet. Wait till you get the Tucson Weekly.
Yes.
So I spoke recently to Luis Parra, who is running for Legislative District 2, the House, and Billy Peard is also doing that, and they are taking on two incumbents, and that's an interesting race for us, and that district goes from Nogales all the way up to southern area of Tucson, and so then some very, very interesting things. And normally we would lead several forums during the election season, but we have not. They are so much more effective in person. And I will tell you, I have seen so many Zoom forums or debates, and Jim, these things are snoozers.
Yeah, it's just it's very challenging for candidates.
Sure.
And not only with the ability to get out there and hold rallies or participate in debates in front of crowds of people, but also the money raising has been a real challenge because they can't have, you know, the usual house parties where they get people together and try to get people to write them checks and support them. And, you know, I imagine a lot of folks out there aren't feeling particularly sympathetic towards politicians unable to raise money. But it definitely is affecting, you know, it's putting more advantage in the hands of the incumbents, I think, who have that existing name ID with the voters, and making it a lot harder for challengers to make a dent in that.
Absolutely, and they're just kind of laying low and hoping the votes come in. And as always, I just encourage people to, there's so much information available to us on these candidates. Go online and explore them. Don't let the ballot be the first time you see some of these names, because there's some terrific people out there running.
And that's one of the things that I think speaks in favor of vote by mail. You know, obviously that's become very controversial across the country, but here in Arizona, we've been doing it for about 30 years now. I think they loosened up the rules in the early 1990s in Arizona, and we've just seen that really expand, mostly driven initially by candidates who were, you know, trying to get those early ballots out. But now, really, the county recorders have stepped in and are sending out all those early ballots. And I think a lot of these fears of early voting are overblown, and I think one of the things that really brings an advantage to it is you can sit down at your kitchen table and say, oh, who's this person running, and get on your Google
exactly
and learn more about them, as opposed to walking into the voting booth and seeing them for the first time.
Exactly. In the town of Sahuarita, our town elections are all mail and have been. So we kind of sort of don't get it on this national level when people are freaking out about mail-in ballots. You casually referenced an issue I want to get back into. We got about 5 minutes here, so a little bit of time we can explore this. We had a police incident in Tucson in April. We're just getting out now about it. A big press conference this week. Police chief offered his resignation. City manager said no. I don't think the mayor wants Chief Chris Magnus to resign either. But I think it's safe to say City Hall is having fits over this. New York Times has written about it at least three times that I've seen. And our incident now is on the national stage. What do you make of it? And in particular, why did it take 2 months?
I think huge kudos we should give to our friend Dylan Smith over at the Tucson Sentinel for being the first to break this story.
Absolutely.
Earlier in the week. We did see that press conference on Wednesday where Police Chief Chris Magnus and Mayor Regina Romero talked about the incident. They had the video, which was a very disturbing body cam video taken by one of the officers when they arrived at the home of this gentleman who was behaving in a very delusional way and appeared to be out of control in some ways. His grandmother had called over concerns about his behavior, and they arrived, and there was not much of an effort to de-escalate, I think it is
sure.
Safe to say, in this particular situation, and he suffered a heart attack and died. There was a the autopsy showed there was cocaine in his system, that did take a long time to come to light. This happened back in April, you know, obviously before the nation's attention was focused on the issue of police and violence and whatnot. And the reason it took so long is because, as Chris Magnus, the police chief, said, he did not review that body camera footage until very late in the game. And then once he did, he was aware of the seriousness of this. And then they informed the city council of it, but they held off on informing the public because they said they wanted to finish the investigation into the situation. They wanted to speak with the family. And the family had requested an opportunity to view the video before the public did, and so they respected that, and that didn't happen until Wednesday morning, which is why Wednesday afternoon they finally released this. The three officers involved resigned ahead of termination. Chris Magnus did throw down the offer to resign at the press conference. I think that took Regina Romero by surprise. Then the next day, the city manager said he would not accept that resignation. The city council seems to be behind Magnus. I think the offer to resign, you know, in some ways, I think it really pushed away from the attention that should have been placed upon the victim in this case, rather than, you know, whether the police chief would remain in place. That probably should have been something done more quietly and without the focus that it eventually took away from the story. But it does seem as though the city council feels as though they have a progressive police chief in Chris Magnus, and they want him to stay, and they want him to work on continuing reforms. They mentioned a number of reforms, including review of body camera footage whenever there's an in-custody death in the future, prompt review of that by higher-ups. And, you know, I think it's definitely a black eye for Tucson, and we're going to be in the national spotlight from this because of the national attention on this issue in general. But the city council, which is, as you know, a fairly lib body here in Tucson, certainly feels as though they have somebody who's working on progressive changes to the police force in Chris Magnus.
Well, very good, Jim. Always good to catch up with you. That's going to wrap up our Friday roundtable. Thank you, Jim Nintzel, for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some help planning your weekend. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's time for the Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can't miss a New Mexico. There's historic downtown Silver City, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument in Grant County. Lots of things to do there. For a complete listing of the many things to do, great place to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. On the line, we have the man, Matt Russell. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always fun being on the Shearer Show pop-up on KVOI. This is always a treat for me.
You know, you always use those trendy, sassy, edgy terms that I don't know. I mean, with pop-up, okay. And we're going to get to one later. I'm going to ask you about it. But you have, despite the shutdown, so much for us to do.
I do indeed. You know, and one of the restaurants that has gone through great lengths to, you know, kind of maximize safety and cleanliness as they recently reopened is the Wild Garlic Grill on Skyline and Campbell. Now, this ode to the stinking rose, as they call it, just underwent a deep cleaning and a mini facelift. And I can say this is one of Tucson's most beautifully socially distant patios with full overhead covering, misters and fans, a gorgeous view. Many of their classic dishes are back, like their iconic New Zealand rack of lamb with a pistachio Dijon crust. Now, Dan, these guys go through 15 pounds of peeled garlic every single day. Now, that's certainly enough to keep the vampires away. Check out Wild Garlic Grill for dinner this weekend.
Okay, and you know, I tell you, you provide the list ahead of time, and I swooned. One of my favorite places was on here, the Divine Bovine.
Yeah, I love this place, and you really don't have to look far to find a great burger this weekend. There are some new burgers that have just hit the menu at Divine Bovine, a place known for some rather, shall we say, outrageous variations on the burger theme. They're over there on Speedway in Wilmot, and they've been serving up some powerhouse patties over the last year, but one of the new ones that got my attention, Dan, is actually imagining the jalapeno popper as a burger. So check it out. Cilantro cream cheese, roasted jalapenos, candied bacon, bacon crumbles, a sriracha ranch dressing, crispy jalapenos, all on top of a house ground gourmet beef patty. This is vintage Divine Bovine, and you should pop over there this weekend.
And pop. I got to tell you,
it's a jalapeno popper, Dan, here.
I completely get it. Pop up the whole bit. I get it. And I tell you, when I went there, I was really struck by the fact that they really care what they do, and it's a craft, and they do it well, and right down to the drinks you have to choose there. And like
sure.
The ambience, great people, know what they're doing, don't rush you, and it was a great night out.
That's a great testimonial. You know, all their burgers are made from a tri-cut blend of chuck, brisket, and short rib. If you can imagine, I mean, that is a sexy blend for a burger, Dan.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Okay, finally, what do we have?
Well, you know, the pandemic has certainly taken a toll on wine tastings and other events, but it didn't stop our friends at Feast from getting creative and hosting their longtime series of Saturday wine tastings. So this week's theme is This Land is Your Land, focusing on four wines that represent the best of the U.S. of A. And all you need to do is swing by Feast on Speedway near Alvernon, grab samples of these wines, run back home, and log on to Zoom for a live tasting event where special guests from across the country are going to lead a discussion about the very wines that you'll be sipping right along with them. It's Saturday at 2, and all of the details are on their website, which is eatatfeast.com. How cool is that, Dan?
Kind of a BYOB to a wine tasting, right?
Exactly. And you're sipping in the comforts of home. You needn't worry or fret about getting behind the wheel. So it really is kind of what we all need to be doing, taking things seriously, doing it responsibly, and having a little fun all at the same time.
And this online socializing, it can work.
Absolutely does. I've seen cooking demonstrations. I've seen cocktail demonstrations. Of course, this wine tasting. I mean, what you miss is the intimacy and the closeness of folks. But if you could just imagine yourself that same camaraderie, albeit in a digital sphere, it really does work. I've been spending a lot of time occupying one of the boxes on the Brady Bunch grid on Zoom, and I'm happy to hoist a martini every now and then and cheers my friends on a virtual happy hour.
Very good. Thank you, Matt Russell, for setting us up for the weekend. Really appreciate it.
Take care, my friend.
Great. Well, great show today. We've really enjoyed talking to Don Weaver and catching up with Jim Nitzel, all the news going on there. And don't forget to come visit us at Green Valley, Green Valley News, gvnews.com. And before we wind it up for the week, just as a reminder that the Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of Bill's longtime executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and the team here at Bustos Media Tucson, including engineer producer John Couch. Have a wonderful and safe weekend.